have to take care of the family. What is your message to such devotees? Well, in general, I think the message is pretty clear that Hare Krishna, yeah, if you don't need to go outside, then why? Why do so? Even if you don't have, even if your children are grown up or whatever, then why go outside and work if there's enough money? What's the point? You can chant Hare Krishna, do some service, read the books. Why be addicted to this kami way of life? There's so many things to discuss. Older women, well, naturally they become grandmothers and they can help look after the younger children, or they can travel with their husbands as vanaprastha wives. And actually they say that, well, the women need to work to supplement the household income. You didn't put oil on that door? The housewife is neglecting her duty. Put oil on the doors, please. Yesterday I was praising Madhav Gopinath's wife. Now I'm pointing out some fault. But, well, there's a case. You see, her husband's earning enough. She can also earn a lot more, but then what's the point? She's not doing that. And there are several in here. Your wife presumably could also be earning lots of money, is it? But she's looking after the family. I'm a recently married grihastha and aspiring for a devotee. Although I'm inclined to Krishna consciousness, my wife believes in some other form of Krishna. She is unwilling to accept the rules and regulations of ISKCON. I feel she is an obstacle in my progress in Krishna consciousness. What do you advise me regarding this particular situation and how to counsel her? Well, I don't know all the details, so I can't give, you know, human situations, they can be very complex, and I don't want to give some advice without knowing the whole situation. But one thing, she's unwilling to accept the rules and regulations of ISKCON. Well, the rules and regulations of ISKCON, they're largely the rules and regulations of just ordinary civilized life. When we're talking about the four regulative principles, they're not the regulative principles of ISKCON. They're the regulative principles of human society. But in general, if she's worshipping another form of Krishna, well, that's a good start. But there are many cases like this. The wife wants to be a devotee, the husband doesn't, or they both want to be devotees but at different levels, they have different outlooks. One wants to educate the children in kami schools and the other doesn't. And it requires a lot of tolerance and adjustment and patience. Usually in such case, trying to force the issue won't work. As Prabhupada wrote to one of his male disciples, you can't expect women to be submissive as they previously were. The general principle is that women should be submissive to the husband, and that's true even if he's not a devotee, because it's the same psychology at work. Although here we have a case of the wife not wanting to follow the husband. So, like I said, I don't want to give any specific advice any more than try and be patient. By hearing from you, sometimes even though we're not qualified, we also straightforward and heavy also with devotees, which leads to bad relationship with devotees. Please guide us. Well, one has to be intelligent in dealings also. By speaking straightforwardly, you are likely to alienate some people, and that happened even. Sometimes people say, well, Prabhupada could speak strongly, but he was qualified and no one else could. But actually, Prabhupada also alienated people. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, one of his last messages, that I've troubled the minds of many people. and many people have not understood me. So to speak straightforwardly means that we are likely to... Could you please put some oil on the door so that every time it's opened and closed it doesn't squeak? Right? Yeah, but you have to put it so that it doesn't squeak anymore. It's not just a matter of, you know, something squeaking, so put some oil somewhere. It has to be put in such a way it doesn't squeak. Okay. So it's also not appreciated by anyone if someone speaks very strongly but doesn't have a good level of practice. If you're just talking very strongly, but you talk the talk, but you don't walk the walk, as they say. So it may be more accepted coming from myself, who is at least some semblance of a sannyasi, than coming from someone who's not in that position. But even then, the rule, thanks to Daksha Maharaj, sannyasis travel a lot, so you may get a heavy dose of something that you need to hear, but if you get it all the time, it might crush you. So sannyasis keep on moving. So if you like this all the time, then it may be very difficult. And we see in the case of Srila Prabhupada, he was, sometimes he was very strong in personal dealings, but generally he's wrote very strongly in his books, and he spoke very strongly when giving lectures and in discussing general principles. And again, sometimes with individuals he was very, very strong, but often he was very accommodating also. So even though we say the principles in personal dealings, it's not that every time we have to tell, it's not that we walk up to everyone on the street and say, well, why aren't you chanting 16 rounds and following 4 8 principles? You're a demon, you're going to hell. That's not preaching. So in individual dealings also, there may be some more considering how much people can accept. And my general policy is see what level they're at and speak at a somewhat higher level to try and bring them up. If you speak at the level they're at, then you don't help them at all. Rather, you cement them in their present position. So we should always try to bring others up. But again, we ourselves should be up somewhat. You said that woman working is not recommended, but if the family situations are forcing her to work, even her husband wants her to work, it is unavoidable. Please suggest what to do in such a situation. Again, it's people are asking me about specific situations, all the details of which I don't know. If the husband wants her to work, well, then she's caught between two things. Where the husband wants her to work and she's supposed to follow her husband, and then at the other... on the other hand, that may be another kind of adharma to mix up with other men. I'd have to see the whole situation and give some advice. Maybe something could be done from home. Sometimes you can't immediately make a solution, but that if you try and you work on it and you pray, then things get better. Is widow remarriage correct or wrong? In some situations, it's allowed by Shastra, especially if the widow is young, and that may be allowed, according to Shastra. There is so much emphasis put on preparing a good mother, but there's no training for the men to be good brahmacharis, a good householder. Yeah, that's also required. But... we often hear that a woman say, well, I'll be like Sita if you can find me a Ram. But Srila Prabhupada indicated that a lot of the responsibility for family, he said that divorce is mostly caused by womanly weakness. That's a quote from Prabhupada. Because the women don't know how to satisfy their husbands. So there's no training for brahmacharya. Well, there is training. It's not that there's no training. But women are to be trained at home. Brahmacharya is in an ashram. Maybe you don't see much brahmacharya training, but it is there. Especially a grihastha. Another point is that, yeah, we're in India, there's some understanding of these principles, and it's being destroyed rapidly. But otherwise, we have a big job to re-establish Varnashram society. You see, it's not just a matter of going to the land and growing some vegetables, but it's a whole social system. And in many ways, putting the social system together is more difficult than growing the vegetables. You think it's difficult growing vegetables, but you think it's difficult living without electricity. But to put the social system into place, that requires a lot of understanding. And all the things I'm saying, and the men are listening too, because they should also understand these principles, and it also affects them. That means that if they've understood this, then they won't want to send their wives to work. And if they've heard what I've said, then they should appreciate that women that have difficulties in menopause and menstruation. So it's not just directed at the women. So how can there be an ideal grihastha with one trained and the other one dissolute? Why not we ready both good wife of good husband? What is that? So he's talking about training for men also. Yep, it's true. It's all round training is required. It's very difficult to maintain austerity in a work environment, especially shaking hands after people eating non-veg. How can we avoid it? You may not be able to. Therefore, we're saying, live with devotees. Why do you want to live with non-devotees? Why are you addicted to that way of life? How to control ourselves when people insult our spiritual consciousness? It's an interesting question, but I'm trying to focus on this one particular arena of topics that we're discussing now. Sometimes we're given demigods prasadam. What are the duties of vanaprastha? I'm skipping that one also because there's lots of questions. I'm going to stick to the topic. What are the duties of vanaprasthas towards society? They don't have much duty towards society. They're semi-renounced. The main... With traditional vanaprasthas, they're wandering. There are different kinds. The wife may stay at home and the husband goes out. It's mostly an individual endeavor for self-realization. Brahmacharis, they also don't have much duty. They're being trained to perform a duty. Grihasthas, they are the most social of the ashrams. They provide, well, the vaishyas, they provide the goods and between them, the various the various varnas in grihastha life, they're productive, administrative, that is society. And as far as traditionally, vanaprastha means in the forest. Brahmachari means in the forest with their guru. Prabhupada, when he was asked, is Vedic culture in the village? He said, no, it's in the forest. You referred yesterday that there is evidence that some rural women, Indian women, had degradation in culture after they came to ISKCON. What's the problem in ISKCON? We have strict regulations, stress on Vedic culture, at least in Prabhupada's books and lectures. Well, that's it. There's stress on Vedic culture in Prabhupada's books and lectures, but it's not being stressed outside of that. And the social ethos is dictated largely by... things coming in from Western devotees who are addicted to Western ideas. It seems to me that it seems to them very difficult to implement our standards in the modern world in the West, because people come to the temples and they don't like it if they see that women don't have the same. They're very sensitive about these issues in the West. If they see the women as even segregation, they'll say, "What's wrong with you?" I saw a few years ago, there was a photo in an ISKCON, some magazine, about a course on Vaishnav etiquette, and they had everyone sitting at tables and chairs, and there were like tables with like four or six people sitting on them, and men and women sitting together, and that was the Vaishnav etiquette course. You know, what hope is there if that's the Vaishnav etiquette course? Actually, since then, they've started separate courses for men and women, to their credit. But it just gives an idea of how confused they are. That they could even dream of having a Vaishnav etiquette course with men sitting next to women, all mixed up, one man, one woman, one man, you know, just bizarre. So, yeah, they're under pressure from the public. And I guess they find it a great strain to try and educate the whole generation which has been brought up in the West, that to think that the whole of humanity up to the present day has been, the whole of manhood has been perpetuating crime against women by not giving them the chance to fight wars and, join boxing championships and things like that. They didn't give them equal opportunity. So there's very strong conditioning, and even there may be legal sanctions, as I was saying, for churches in the West and religious institutions that don't give full rights to homosexuals, then they may lose their charity status, and they may go to prison and all. You know, so it's very heavy pressure, and I guess they find it easier to try and go along with the flow. But as I was saying, the flow is going to hell. So we don't have an identity. If we go along with that, they're trying to force this identity on us. And we find that, the Western devotees also, again, I'm talking very broadly here, but the Western leaders are trying to force these standards throughout the world also, as the Western countries, they're trying to force that all countries of the world should follow their standards. If we get married to a person by a parent's choice and we try to be submissive to them, although he's not interested in Krishna consciousness, at the same time he wants to be a partner in his mundane activities, what should be our role in this case? Could you please help us? I'm not going to help you. I know what you're talking about. I can put you in contact with some grihasthas who can discuss this with you. It's not for me to discuss this kind of thing. There's what they sometimes call the fourth principle. We have difficulty following it. These days, people who want their sons to... Yeah, whoever asked this question, I'll put you in contact with some grihasthas who have a lot of experience answering this. These days, people who want their sons to get married are searching for working women or educated women and expect them to work even after the marriage and having children. Just, yeah, it's true. See how standards have changed. What is your advice? Well, my advice is you should have listened to the lecture. How can we convince our parents who also agree with them and get us married to them, which becomes very difficult to follow the dharma? Yeah, it's very difficult for girls, particularly, which underlines the point that they're the weaker sex and therefore required to be protected. But if the protector is acting against your interest, then you're in a very difficult situation. What should be done? Again, it's good to take advice from grihastha devotees. It can be very difficult because naturally you don't want to go against your parents. That may be required if they want to marry you into a situation which is... Sometimes the parents deliberately want to marry their daughters or sons into situations which they calculate will destroy their Krishna consciousness. They're deliberately trying to do that. So, in that case, it would, again, talking generally, it might be advisable to go against your parents. But then again, you set a bad precedent for yourself and for others of disobeying authority. So it's like you're stuck. You whatever you do, you have to break some rule, or you have to go against some principle. But the main consideration should be what's best for Krishna consciousness. Also considering that we do want to uphold important dharmic principles, including those of following one's parents. So it puts you in a difficult situation. It's something like Arjuna had promised to Draupadi to bring the head of to cut off Ashwatthama's head. And then he brought Ashwatthama and then said, Draupadi said, well, don't cut off his head. And Bhima said, yeah, cut off his head. And Arjuna had to satisfy both of them. So he was able to do that by cutting off Ashwatthama's top knot. You ready to serve prasad now? Let me know whenever you're ready and then we'll break. How should women deal with domestic violence? You mean, should they stop beating their husbands? Or which is as common, by the way, in America as women being beaten by their husbands. There's some myth propagated that it's all men beating women, but there's as much women beating men as there are men beating women. And I know of at least two cases of male devotees who... I know of one case of a male devotee who's severely harassed by his wife constantly. I know another one, he told me, I met him last year, and he said, my wife, she's constantly harassing me verbally, and she often beats me with kitchen utensils. He said, he said some name of some martial arts. He said, I'm a black belt in this and that. I can easily beat her up, but I don't want to. But he was so disturbed. So it's not one way. It's a myth propagated that only men beat women, but women also beat men. How do you deal with it? Again, I'm giving general advice, and you may say, well, it's hopeless if you can't give specific advice. But then, it requires very personal interaction, because you can't just give a one formula for every situation. It depends on the individuals concerned, and it may be that the wife is doing something that causes the husband to become annoyed, and she has to behave in a different way. That's also possible. It may be in many cases that she needles him. That may be there. Is it good working for meat eaters? It is anyway, it's obviously not. So. Yesterday you said that swapping of photos and interacting before marriage is not acceptable, but it is the present way of looking for a match. What should we do? Well, you may have to go along with the flow to some extent. I'm just pointing out some of the defects. To already say we should preach according to time, place and circumstance, it was proper for Prabhupada to speak like that in the present situation is not. Yeah, again, it's not really on the point of the. Otherwise, there may be a million. Even staying at home and managing household affairs today involves tasks which a Vedic woman didn't have to. Grocery shopping, house maintenance. Grocery shopping, well, in Bangladesh, when I was there in the 1980s, mostly I was there in the 1980s, so actually the women didn't go shopping for groceries, the men used to. You didn't see a Muslim-dominated country, and you didn't see women on the street much. The men would be out. The men would go shopping for groceries. They'd go to work, and then they'd do the shopping also. Grocery shopping, house maintenance, etc. House maintenance, well, traditionally some of the things are done by men also, like mending some... Of course, in India, you call some mystery or something, but in the West, men... I know my father, he would mend the car, do the gardening. When I was very young, he used to keep pigs at home, and then he kept chickens, and which is, you know, it's not very recommendable. But the point is that he did work, apart from going out and being a teacher. He came home and grow vegetables and keep pigs and chickens, and he did. And then if there's snow in the driveway, then it's the man's job. So the men have domestic tasks also. It's not that it's all done by women, at least in the West. There's so much interaction with men. Please explain how to approach such situations. House maintenance? Maybe if you have to call a plumber, as they call it in India. No, you shouldn't call a mistress. There should be some man present. Otherwise, you're in a dangerous situation.
Some workmen, linemen, place work order, they come in a time that the man is not at home.
Yeah, well, there you go. It's another disadvantage of modern life. You may not be able to avoid it. So many disadvantages of modern life. In the West, there are so many jokes, but it's based on reality of the milkman. He delivers the milk, and then sometimes he goes and, you know, the woman's, that was a generation ago, now the women aren't there. But they'd go in the house and, you know, spend a little time in the house with the woman who's alone, or the postman. We've been hearing from you that it's natural, or, what's that? Svabhavik. For women to want to have children or to like to have children. The desire for children is being learned, being termed as a protest, as a pretext for sense gratification. So, how do we distinguish whether a desire for children is a desire for sense gratification? It may be mixed. That's what Srila Prabhupada called dovetailing. Have children, but make them devotees. And it's unrealistic to attempt to be so renounced that I don't have children. If you are renounced, then don't marry. And it's not marriage recommended for women. You should marry and have children and make them devotees. Trying to or attempting to dress as mold life to live into Vedic standards. So making requirements, making acquaintances and relatives, is making acquaintances and relatives of Krishna consciousness a tough way of life, and they don't want to take it. That's true. If we say, so that's what some of our devotees say, well, it's better to watch TV and go eat some kami foods and go to the cinema. Now people think Krishna consciousness is not so difficult, and they can take it also. The thing is that it's not Krishna consciousness. And there's no, what's the difference between you and anyone else, and why should they take it? It is somewhat difficult, and they may not want to take it. Therefore, we have to convince them of the benefit of not engaging, of living as a devotee and not engaging in activities which are detrimental to our spiritual advancement. If they think, well, it's very difficult to watch, not to watch TV, so let's watch TV, and then they'll also become devotees. They won't become devotees, and you won't be a devotee either. So preaching means people bringing people to a better standard, not that we come to a lower standard, so that we can so-called relate to them. Am I doing a disservice to Guru Maharaj by making them averse to Krishna consciousness? They're averse to Krishna consciousness because they think that everyone should be a gross sense gratifier. That's their problem. As Prabhupada said, it's our duty to give the message, and whether people take it or not, it's up to them. This idea that we'll make people like Krishna consciousness by not being Krishna conscious, it's bizarre. Shringa, you mean the deity worship? Yeah, it can be done. At home especially, there's much was always done. According to Smartha Vidhi, women should not worship Shalagram, but according to Pancharatriki Vidhi, they can. As you said, the government may pass laws that spiritual institutions should accept homosexuals. How should ISKCON deal with this? Tough one. I think we should have a revolution. It's really tough, isn't it? That's what these Christian groups are saying. Then, in the name of giving homosexuals rights, you're forcing us to do things which are against our core beliefs. There's all kinds of court cases going on in America, and the churches are losing them one after another. 100 years ago, you could be put in prison for being a homosexual, and now you can be put in prison for saying something's wrong with homosexuality. Any subject can be well taught in childhood. Why Krishna consciousness is not part of our Indian education? Go and ask Manmohan Singh. Or more likely, Pandit Nehru. Why even Ramayana Mahabharata? Are there any proposals from ISKCON to the government? Well, it wouldn't. How about addressing H.G. Malati Mataji as Malati Prabhu? I think that's already covered. She's very averse to that. She's a very good devotee in many ways, and doing. But if formally I just call her Malati Devi, which is kind of neutral or something. She doesn't like being called Mataji. General tendency is if we want to control desires. What is that? Internal, is it?
Internal.
Internal desires, more serious, more desires rise. How can I get to terminal? Yeah, I'm not going to answer that because it's not on the subject exactly. Modern ISKCON is being influenced by modern ideas. What should our attitude be towards resolution of GBC that goes against Shastric injunctions, knowing that Prabhupada wanted us to accept the GBC as authority? What is the ultimate authority? Yeah, it puts us in a very difficult situation because we want to follow the spiritual authority. But when the authority makes resolutions, which the thing is that the GBC's authority derives from following Prabhupada, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And their authority becomes diminished if they do something else. So it puts the followers in a very difficult situation. Therefore, we should know. What's in Prabhupada's books and what the standard is. Otherwise, last year the GBC made a resolution that Prabhupada's books, they should have notes explaining in what different individuals thought about various statements in Prabhupada's books. In other words, to make them more acceptable to the public. I mean, it's a very serious thing. I heard that Prabhupada asked his female disciple to lead kirtan, maybe lectures as well, in front of his own godbrothers. How to understand it? Yeah, I heard that also. There was an instance of in some program where some of Prabhupada's godbrothers were present, and he had one of his lady disciples, he asked her to lead the kirtan. How do we understand it? Well, how to understand Prabhupada's mind? I can't say exactly. Again, Prabhupada, he was very accommodating in many ways to make Krishna consciousness available to the public, but at the same time in his books he gave the direction for what human societies, the general standard should be. We could understand this, that Prabhupada wanted to, you know, like blatantly show his godbrothers that I don't follow all the different strictnesses that you do. And that's like the most, like a blatant example. But again, at least in the time I was in ISKCON, Prabhupada was present in temple after temple, and the kirtans were all led by men, and there wasn't any case of Prabhupada asking the women to lead. Is polygamy a realistic scenario for devotees today in any non-Islamic country? Even if the couple is ready and actually willing, I mean, will even other devotees support that? Will other devotees support it? Well, it depends. I know some devotees who will support it and some who will be against it. I'm speaking in such a way that those who might have faith in the things that I say, and I'm not asking you to have faith in what I say because I'm saying, but I'm trying to present it in terms of what Prabhupada said, that they will act in such a way that we can live in a manner which is more conducive for Krishna consciousness. And there, as I said at the very beginning of this series of talks, there is a cultural divide in ISKCON. So it is a fact that if you follow the traditional usages, you will be criticized within ISKCON and not within ISKCON. But what I'm saying is that a lot of the trends in ISKCON at the present time, they are not following traditional dharma. They are rather going against that. Within ISKCON at the present time, for instance, in the Western world, divorce is practically accepted as the most normal thing. I know one of my godbrothers, he's married for many years, and then his wife all of a sudden said, "I don't want to live with you anymore." "What's the reason?" "I did no reason. Just I don't want to be married to you anymore." And then he didn't get any support from the devotee community. He said to the Tamil president, he said, "Well, you should just get used to it. It happens to pretty much everyone, you know." And then he was protesting that why you're giving her a job in the Gurukul, and you should terminate that because she's acting against her dharma. He said, "No, it's all right. You know, what's the problem?" So you will. This is an instance of the authorities in ISKCON supporting what should not be supported. So you become in a position, something like Bhishma or Drona, they're supporting those. It's dharmic to support the king, but if the king himself doesn't follow dharma, then you shouldn't follow. So it puts us in a very difficult situation. And if you are going to establish these Varnashram communities, you're not going to... If there's one divorce on your farm community, it'll set a trend, and that it's going to be. It's like a crack that can never be repaired. It's very, very difficult. That's what I'm saying. To set up the community, that's more difficult. It's a lot more difficult than living without electricity, setting the social principles. But unless we do that, there is no Varnashram. Unless we speak against these things, how are we ever going to stop this trend of divorce and then remarriage? And then you find devotees, they've got devotee women in the West, they've got four children from four different fathers, and they're all devotees. And what is this? I mean, and this is coming to India now more and more also. So, yeah, it is going to be difficult. And that's what I said. It's easier to go with the flow. But see where the flow is going to. I don't think it's very pleasing to Prabhupada that we have a worse social record than the average Karmis. I mean, you'll find beef-eating Karmis in the West who have got no idea of Krishna consciousness, who are dutiful husbands and wives and live together all their lives without thinking of divorce. And you've got our devotees, they're talking about, you know, Sakya Ras and Sringar Ras and this and that. And, you know, and then the relation between, well, anyway, they're talking all these things. But there's not even any basic dharmic principles. So, basic standards of human society need to be instituted. And it's very difficult, that's true. It's easier to go with the flow. So if you want to go with the flow, go with it and see. But you should have enough intelligence to see where it's going before you float downstream. Okay, one more question.
Does this Varnashram system apply to only the Krishna or even the Brahmacharis?
Varnashram means Varna Ashram. All the ashrams, all the Varnas. Obviously. Well, obviously, the very term Varnashram means four Varnas and four Ashrams. So it's obviously an incorrect statement to say it only applies to Grihasthas. Okay, we'll finish there. Yeah, okay. Thank you very much for listening very patiently. Please don't think that it's often construed that I'm anti-women, but actually if you can understand, all this advice is the best possible thing for both men and women and for everyone else. This social advice.